You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, welcome back. We're finishing up our second show of 2016. And remember I was saying how CES was taking place last week? Well, here's one of the craziest things that came out of CES, and that is posted on Yahoo News. And it says, this crazy thin 6-millimeter paper camera can take photos and videos, all for just $28. Did you just catch that? 6 millimeters. So it's a zany and novel tech gadget. You'll definitely find a lot to get excited about. Paper-like digital camera, a new super thin 6-millimeter camera that costs $28 and packs a whole lot of bang for the buck. Yes, the product has a funky name, but seeing as how the distinctive retro-looking device is a video-capable digital camera crammed into a 6-millimeter thick form factor, we've more than happy to overlook its clunky title. And oh yes, did we mention that it can also take voice recordings? What makes this super thin camera so remarkable is that it manages to fit so many features also into a thin footprint. Not only can it take photos and videos, but the camera itself comes with an on-off switch to access different modes, a micro SD card slot, 16 gig of storage, and an LED light to signal which mode is active, and a convenient USB 2 terminal for the transferring of photos to the PC with ease. Notably, the USB terminal can also be used for charging purposes. The camera's LED light can be seen below. When you switch the camera into video mode via the switch depicted heading 3 below, the light turns blue, and when the voice recording mode is active, the light turns purple. As for the camera, as photo and video quality, we've obviously not talking about a device a professional would ever opt to for, but still, a camera that weighs in at just 43 grams, the photos and videos aren't too shabby, all things considered. Photos are taken at 1280x1024 quality, while video footage is recorded at 720x480. That's not high definition, that's SD, standard definition. The device comes with a built-in battery and even a strap so that if you can wear it around your neck. I don't know why you would need it, but anyway. There is some sample footage that's on this website and some still footage as well. The product is available for purchase via this Japanese website, but as far as we can tell, the product currently seems to be sold out. But how about that? 6 millimeters thin, and there looks like three different... It looks like three different models, so to speak. One that looks like an old-time camera with a flash with a shoe on top. One that looks like an Instamatic, and one that looks like a digital camera, but all flat. So they're all two-dimensional and 6 millimeters thin. How about that? And I guess that's fairly simple to contain at $28, and it's digital. Isn't that fantastic? Amazing stuff. Just goes to show you how many cool things are out there. Well, that's pretty much it for this week. We're going to move on over to some things about money in just a few minutes. Do not fear technology. Use it, understand it, embrace it. That is the mission of Tech Today. And hopefully we imparted that mission onto you. We'll talk to you again next week. Thanks for listening on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
Up there with Elvis and the Beatles.
The interim vice president of education at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Dr. Jason Hanley, talking about David Bowie. And David Bowie fans in Cleveland are mourning the loss of the iconic singer who made his American debut in Cleveland in the early 1970s.
People knew that if they wanted to make it in the United States, they had to conquer Cleveland. They had to do well in Cleveland. Back in September of 1972, David Bowie was getting a lot of airplay on the local station WMMS and was just putting out Ziggy Stardust.
David Bowie died just 2 days after his 69th birthday in the release of his 25th studio album. Alabama fans are celebrating this morning after their team became college football's national champion again. The Crimson Tide defeated Clemson 45-40 in the thriller last night to win Bama's fourth title in the past 7 years. President Obama is putting his finishing touches on tonight's State of the Union address. Presidential spokesman Josh Earnest said Obama will push Congress to pass criminal justice reform. You're listening to USA Radio News.
The fight to preserve Western civilization and Western values in America is more important than it's ever been, and that's why you'll want to be at the Western Conservative Conference in Scottsdale, Arizona on March 18th and 19th. It's the premier gathering of conservatives in the Western United States. It's the event you don't want to miss. Conservative stars from around the country will be there, including Governor Mike Huckabee.
Military is not a social experiment. The purpose of the military is kill people and break things.
America's Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
We're bringing the illegal immigration problem back to the forefront.
Keynote speaker and former presidential candidate Herman Cain.
The American dream is under attack.
But the good news is we are fighting back.
For more information, go to westernconservative.org. Register now for March 18th and 19th. Sign up for early bird pricing and see the confirmed list of speakers and sponsors. Get involved with the fight for our future at westernconservative.org.
One congressman is taking aim at President Obama's actions on guns.
Texas Representative Louie Gohmert is calling out President Obama for executive actions on gun laws, saying they'll just harm law-abiding citizens. Representative Gohmert told USA Radio's Trending Today with Rusty Humphreys during his time as a federal judge, Gohmert didn't have a single criminal with a legal gun.
I can't remember a single one where a criminal went to a gun dealer and legally bought a gun. Criminals don't get their guns that way. They're the ones that won't comply with existing law, no matter how many laws you make.
Representative Gohmert also said the Obama administration has prosecuted significantly less gun crimes than the Bush administration. I'm Jason Wirt.
Federal prosecutors in half a dozen U.S. cities are itching to try Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. U.S. attorney offices in San Diego, Chicago, New York City, El Paso, Miami, and Concord, New Hampshire have all filed charges against Guzman. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Ah, the beginning of a new year. Started off right during Rite Aid's 2016 Starting Points. Because every week through January 23rd, you can ring in the values. With 1,000 Plenty Points worth $10 in savings when you spend $30 on participating products with your Wellness Plus with Plenty card. That adds up to big savings every week for the entire month. But only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Worth at least $10. Limit 2 offers per card per week. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
Bluebell Creameries is assuring its customers that its ice cream is safe to eat days after finding possible traces of listeria. Media reports said the contamination was at its headquarters in Brenham, Texas, and not at its Alabama or Oklahoma plants. Bluebell recalled its products last April after a listeria outbreak killed 3 people. In 2014, Bluebell was voted the nation's favorite ice cream. A new study examines whether folks who suffer from sleep apnea are prone to develop heart problems down the line. Dr. Rena Mira with the Cleveland Clinic says the study looks at the 2 types of sleep apnea, obstructive and central.
Interestingly found that not so much obstructive sleep apnea, but rather a different kind of sleep apnea called central sleep apnea was associated with development of de novo atrial fibrillation.
The study followed a group of elderly men for a period of 6.5 years and found that most of the men who had central sleep apnea later developed heart arrhythmia or atrial fibrillation. Central sleep apnea is caused when the brain fails to signal the muscles to breathe and is less common than obstructive sleep apnea. Sleep apnea in general is more common in men than women. Dr. Rena Miro with the Cleveland Clinic says that further studies need to be done to determine if there is a preventative treatment to keep people with central sleep apnea from developing heart problems.
Whether treating that sleep apnea reduces that risk of atrial fibrillation development remains to be seen.
Powered by WesternJournalism.com, I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning. This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money with Joe Patton here in the room. It is 11:12 a.m., and it's January 12th, 2016. Today, the weather is 26 degrees with a slight overcast. The high is going to be 39 degrees. They say there's a chance of rain and snow showers before 2 p.m., and then a chance of rain showers between 2 and 5. Then a chance of some more rain and snow after 5 p.m. Cloudy today with a high near 39. South wind 8 to 13 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 50%. Tonight there'll be a chance of snow showers before 7. Cloudy again, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 20. I guess winter's coming back, Joe. On tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 30, winds 11 to 16 miles per hour, and tomorrow night partly cloudy with a low around 14. Thursday we'll see a little more sun with a high near 36, west winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, and then partly cloudy in the evening with a low around 26. Back to you, Joe.
Well, yes, and this is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton, Heidi & Associates, and you are listening to Some Things About Money. Welcome to winter! And if that isn't good enough for you, welcome to $1.5 billion on the Powerball jackpot. And I'm sure everyone has run out there to do your part in contributing to covering every conceivable number combination that could possibly be. I'm sure that is going to take place by the time the drawing occurs tomorrow night. And for those people who are looking for something to do tonight, I think we have this thing called State of the Union, or as I like to call it, the annual Democratic infomercial. So that's where we're going as far as future activities, and I hope each and every one of you has a nice, comfortable, warm seat in front of the television to listen to all of the nonsense that we will hear from our nation's politicians of both parties. Interesting fact, one of the latest surveys just recently came out that said that there is about 42% of the people in the United States, voters who are now classifying themselves as independent, and for both Democrats and Republicans, the number each somewhere in the 20s. And this is probably the lowest percentage, certainly in my memory, that the Democratic Party actually had people who were calling themselves, describing themselves as Democrats. So that doesn't necessarily mean that it'll be a cakewalk for the Republicans, because many of the people who are disenfranchised on the extreme left, as well as those disenfranchised on the extreme right, are no longer calling themselves by those names. They are preferring to classify themselves as independents. So we really don't know how that's going to play out in the upcoming presidential election, but it'll be interesting to hear how all of the spin doctors spin it. Let's see here. For the third time in less than 12 months, global markets have been taking their cue from equity volatility in China. Well, China's rise to a place of prominence on the global economic landscape over the last 30 years certainly warrants such attention. But as we have noted in past commentaries, its financial markets, they're still quite young on a relative basis, existing only approximately 25 years with resulting limited investment market experience on the part of both its participants and its so-called regulators. Over the past year, mistakes have clearly been made on both sides of the equation. Most prominently, it was a mistake over recent years for Chinese officials to openly encourage average Chinese citizens to participate in the domestic equity market. But the percentage of its citizens that do is still low in comparison to other global markets. Direct foreign exposure to mainland Chinese equity markets is also still rather limited. Now, keep in mind that it was just over a year ago that the Chinese regulators opened the door to a bit more foreign individual investors to even directly participate in its domestic markets. Over the short term, Chinese equity market activity certainly does not matter for global financial market sentiment, but it is the Chinese economy that matters over the long term. From this perspective, China has indeed been slowing as leaders attempt to transition the economy away from export reliance and infrastructure investment to one of domestic consumption and services. The law of large numbers also simply means that China's rapid pace of expansion was going to wane over time as well. Such a transition would be exceptionally difficult in a truly market-based economy. But in a central government-run economy, mistakes and imbalances are more likely to occur, and have. Despite this, China is still growing at an enviable rate. The actual rate is somewhat open to debate given skepticism in regards to government figures, but most reliable outside organizations generally peg the current rate of expansion as approximately 5.5% to 6.5%. The IMF will currently forecast a 2016 growth rate of 6.3% versus 6.8% in 2015. Now, the IMF estimate, however, is likely to be trimmed when the organization updates its global outlook later this month. Migration from rural areas to urban areas, where people are much more productive and require more services, should remain a strong primary driver of growth in China. Aside from China, there are also issues on the global landscape that, in our view, are likely to foster a bit slower pace of global growth over the near term. These issues should be expected to weigh on investor sentiment and potential corporate earnings. Sharper lower crude oil and other commodity prices are likely to continue to pressure economic conditions in many countries. Here in the United States, correcting an inventory bulge and dealing with an overly strong dollar are also likely to remain strong headwinds. But from a very high perspective, inventories will be worked down and lower energy prices will, over time, move higher as well. And, you know, it'll also be a stimulus for global growth and potentially offer a sound base point for economic recovery in commodity-oriented economies around the world. Most importantly, American consumers are in good financial shape, as is the financial system and corporate balance sheets. Now, certainly it doesn't feel that way, because over the last 3 months, things have been really choppy around the world. And talk about choppy, like right here, taking a look at the markets, quite frankly, we started out rather well from the futures being up major six figures to where we are today, which is the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 23.32, actually now up to 25 points. The S&P 500 is up 5.38. The NASDAQ up 30.79. Over in Europe, the European markets are rebounding, but certainly not as much as they were earlier either. FTSE is up 75 points, 1.29%. The DAX is up 203, that's 2.07%. And the CAC 40 up 84.76, 1.9%. Now, one of the major drivers in all of this global nonsense has been the price of oil. We had a little bit of a move higher yesterday in stabilization, but not so much today. Crude has fallen back towards 12-year lows after that rally. It's currently sitting at $30.64. That's down 77 cents or 2.45%. Gold also had experienced a bit of an upturn, but not now. That is falling as stocks were rebounding in Europe and we're having an increase in the dollar value. Gold is at $1,087.80. That's down $8.40. Looking at the U.S. 10-year Treasury, that is currently yielding 2.1384%. So that's where we stand. You know, looking at this morning, although the Asia-Pacific equity markets again finished mostly lower overnight, China's equity markets really not moving lower too much, appears enough to have altered investors' moods this morning overseas. Overnight, Chinese stocks finished higher by less than 1%, while most Asia-Pacific areas finished in the red. Chinese markets traded sloppy, though, with the major mainland indices moving in and out of losses during the session. However, reports that the People's Bank of China repeatedly intervened to support the yuan, both in onshore and offshore markets during the session, was a welcomed sign for traders. Now, according to Bloomberg, the yuan rose as much as 0.7% versus the dollar intersession, really, in Hong Kong. By intervening in the Hong Kong market, the People's Bank of China is attempting to stem the rapid depreciation of its currency and close the gap between onshore and offshore market rates, which is a condition of depreciation of its currency and close the gap between what's been going on overseas. In our view, the central bank could continue to use verbal cues as well as policy actions to avoid a one-sided trade in its currency continue. This could continue to pressure Chinese foreign exchange reserves while also keeping a degree of uncertainty anchored in the market around how effective the People's Bank of China can be in managing its currency on the global stage. Now, Japanese equities, well, they finished lower by 2.7% after a long holiday, and Australian markets finished close to flat despite energy and material-related stocks continuing to sell off sharply. Australian markets are on their worst losing streak since 2010, according to Bloomberg. So, you know, Asia, the U.S., people are looking at China, people are looking at all this wonderful stuff, although, you know, domestically, we're not looking at being all that bad here in the United States. In fact, things are kind of looking fairly good. And we're going to talk a little bit about what the Ameriprise Global Asset Allocation Committee has set for its 2016 targets. And we'll talk a little bit about that employment report that came out last week and as it relates to folks. And I'm also looking at a little bit of information about all those high earnings that are getting bashed. In fact, Hillary came out with a recommendation, another high income tax, I guess a surcharge of 4% on the wealthy. At some point, that goose is going to get consumed as well as its eggs, but it'll be a while. We'll talk about that when we come back after we have some commercials.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
And we're back. Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, here with Tony Clark, who's working the board because Geneaverse is working somewhere else, and so is Michelle Heide. So Tony brought Emma in today. Good morning, Emma. How are you? Emma's reading. She's being very quiet. Really quiet. I mean, now I know where your mother gets it from. But anyway, be that as it may, we have all of these wonderful things. We were talking about the Ameriprise Global Asset Allocation Committee, and that has set its 2016 year-end S&P 500 price target at 2,175. That sounds good. I wish it was the price of my next car. The year-end target for domestic equities implies growth of 13.1% from Friday's close and a 6.4% return on the S&P 500's December 31st, 2015 year-ending level. Additionally, the committee sees the 10-year Treasury yield target ending 2016 at 2.5% amid real U.S. GDP growth of approximately 2.4. Might be a little bit aggressive, but hey, if that happens, I'll take it. Last week, global equity markets experienced considerable pressure over concerns that economic growth in China was slowing more than expected, and that we have talked about. Oil prices failing to stabilize were also a large anchor on the global sentiment last week. Even a strong U.S. jobs report that we will get into shortly on Friday couldn't stem the tide, as these two important issues are currently driving all of the market momentum. And investors appear to see strong job growth as possible fuel for tighter Federal Reserve policy. In our view, each of these items has the potential to act as a disinflationary pressure on global growth, hence investors' high level of anxiety about current stock prices. Last week's global market sell-off was a reaction to investors primarily lowering their outlook for future global growth. The S&P 500 target applies a scenario analysis where our base case expectations call for a little to no multiple expansion this year in comparison to the S&P 500's year-end PE of 17.2 and earnings growth of approximately 8%. Now, despite last week's market events, we believe our base case scenario is still the most probable path forward for U.S. equities over the course of 2016. However, we also recognize scenarios where conditions can improve as well as contract compared to our base case. We arrive at our target by assigning a probability to each scenario, and, well, we believe our 2,175 target for the S&P 500 is attainable based on this holistic view of possible outcomes. Now, we also believe that interest rates could continue to rise modestly in 2016 as the Federal Reserve moves down the path to normalize short-term interest rates here in the United States. However, we also believe the path will be slow, data-dependent, and the number of rate hikes in 2016 could be slower than what the FOMC has thus far suggested. Additionally, we believe the U.S. economy can continue down a course of stable yet slow growth for 2016. employment, housing, and consumer trends continue to improve in the United States, which could anchor the economy for this year. So not all that bad, you know, slow but steady. You know, the turtle sometimes does win, especially in all of the fairy tales that we pay attention to. But what isn't a fairy tale is what's currently going on in the markets. So we started up about 165 points on the Dow. Unfortunately, that has evaporated. The Dow Jones is down 4.76 points to 16,393.81. The S&P up a paltry 1.9 or a tenth of a percent at 1925. The NASDAQ up 22 points at 4,660. And, you know, I guess as we're beginning to ease off, so are the Europeans. The FTSE's up 1.08%, the DAX 1.78, the CAC 40 is up 1.64%, and oil, well, oil is still down 86 at $30.55 a barrel, heading to sub 30, according to many. And gold down $8.10 at $1,088. It had been over $1,100 last week, but with what is going on in the world, probably not going to happen. So that's where that stands. So what will the unemployment rate mean for Fed policy? Tony's looking pensive on the other side of the microphone going, I can't wait to hear because I'm really interested in what Janet Yellen and the guys are doing. Okay, well, let's see. With last week's unemployment report, markets will likely focus most intently on the net number of new jobs created in the month of December. Yeah, we're looking back and going, what did that mean? By most indications ahead of the release, the non-farm payroll number was fairly solid. The data could mean that it could be very important to Fed policy going forward. However, is the report's unemployment rate all that meaningful? As we've noted on prior occasions, the Labor Department's that actually issues six different measures of unemployment each month. I know that's confusing, but you know, kind of let's go through the weeds here. The headline number that we are most familiar with is the U3 rate. That is the one we hear on all of the news reports. It's the one that could be dressed up, made really attractive. You know, little frills, a kind of a ribbon in the hair, maybe, you know, a well-placed flower. Now, the number that may be more telling than the U3 in terms of the present labor market conditions is the U6 rate. Now, what is that? The U6 rate is generally an all-inclusive number that builds on the U3 measure to also include those that are underemployed. For example, or the working part-time because they can't find full-time work, and those that indicate that they would like to work but are currently not looking but have looked in the past 12 months because they really don't believe that any work is available or the kind of work that they would like isn't available. And quite frankly, I'm kind of comfortable sitting here on my couch, you know, watching the world go by. Currently, there is a larger than historical disconnect between the U3 and the U6 rate. The U6 rate is currently indicating more slack in the labor market than what the 5% level of unemployment has historically implied. For instance, in June of 1997, when an improving U3 unemployment rate at 5%, the U6 rate was more than a point lower than its current level of 9.9%. In November of 2005, a similar story. Amid improving labor markets, the U3 rate was at 5% and the U6 at 8.7%. Although the U6 rate and all unemployment rates have been declining at a relatively fast pace, the fact remains that according to this data, there is currently more slack in the labor market than what has traditionally been seen during periods with a 5% headline unemployment rate. Fed officials, including Fed Chair Yellen, have noticed this divergence in past commentaries, and we believe the elevated U6 should lead officials to be very cautious in their current tightening cycle, especially since inflation pressures are nearly non-existent in our view. The documentation released at the time of the December 16th policy decision showed officials generally seeing 4 Fed fund rate hikes of 25 basis points each in 2016, but market-based indicators, Fed fund futures, currently indicate an expectation of 2 rate hikes. Net-net, we believe underlying economic conditions support the 2-hike view, with the potential for a 3rd hike should economic activity remain steadily within its recent 2% to 2.5% pace. Not quite sure that the rest of the world is agreeing with that optimistic viewpoint, but we shall see. Let's see. Did you see Hillary is advocating a 4% surcharge tax on the wealthy? Boy, you know, it's amazing to me. You kind of wonder how many are going to be left, because, you know, they always talk about the rich needing to pay their fair share, but I've never heard a socialist actually ever define what that number is. Maybe it's because the better people do, the more the government wants to stick their hands in your pocket. And if they told you that they were going to limit it, well, they couldn't do it anymore. So why create an expectation among the population that we're actually going to be fiscally sound and responsible when there's always an opportunity to grab more money for our government to spend? Aren't they slick? Well, I didn't mean to make the Bill Clinton reference. Earners paid the highest tax rate in 2013. We have those numbers in. I know it's 2016 today, but you know, you have to go back a couple of years before you have complete data. The 400 Americans, and this is good because it relates to what all of us would like to achieve, especially with a $1.5 billion lottery coming up tomorrow. The 400 Americans who earned the biggest incomes for 2013 paid the highest tax rate in 16 years. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's not what we heard in the media. They are not paying their fair share. They're finding all of these ways to pay less in the way of tax than their secretaries, right? Maybe not. So they did pay the highest tax rate in 16 years, but they also saw their incomes drop. To be in the top 400 club in 2013, the highest... the latest period of IRS data that is available, according to what we've talked about earlier, you would need to earn at least $100,069,000. Well, that marked a drop from the cutoff in 2012 when you needed nearly $140 million. The total income of the top 400 also fell in 2013 to roughly $106 billion, about 1.7% of the nation's total income. If we hit the lottery, we'll be right up there. That compares to $134 billion or 4.8% in 2012. Now, the drop might seem unexpected, given that the economy strengthened in 2013 and the stock market has delivered its best performance in years up until the last few months. Yet the income drop and higher taxes were likely driven by the same phenomenon, higher federal tax rates. In 2013, federal income tax rates for those making more than $400,000 went from 35% to 39.6% for ordinary income, and capital gains taxes went from 15% to 20% with an additional 3.8% for Medicare surtax. I wonder if any of those people enjoyed the opportunity to get some government assistance off of the money they contributed to the entitlement programs. Tony's shaking her head. She doesn't think so, nor do I. So in other words, you can pay for it, but you can't have a taste. Love it. Anticipating the tax hikes, many of high earners sold stock or assets in 2012 to take their gains before taxes went up. That caused a massive jump in their reported incomes for 2012, more than 50% compared with 2011. And, of course, the drop again here in 2013. They shifted their income into 2012 because of the tax hikes, said Robertson Williams of the Nonpartisan Tax Policy Center. If they could take a gain in 2012, many people took it. As a result, the top 400 earners paid higher effective tax rates in 2013. The top 400 paid an effective tax rate of 22.89% of their adjusted gross income, which was up from 16.72% in 2012. That marked the highest level since 1997. So, according to Williams, quote, tax hikes worked exactly as they were intended to work. The wealthy paid more. So every time you hear people talking about how, you know, the rich just aren't paying their fair share, think about those numbers. They're scary. Okay, I think we're going to take another break and then we're going to motor through. Tony, pay some bills.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
This is Tony Clark again, and it is 11:42 a.m. on January 12th. A quick weather break. Today, the weather out there is still 26 degrees with a slight overcast. A chance of rain and snow showers before 2 p.m. is expected, and then a chance of rain between 2 and 5 p.m. And then again after 5, some more snow and rain is expected. Cloudy with a high near 39. South wind 8 to 13 miles per hour, becoming southwest in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation today is 50%. Tonight, a chance of snow showers again before 7 p.m. Cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 20. West wind 10 to 16 miles per hour, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. New snow accumulation, though, is less than a half an inch possible. Tomorrow, Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 30. West wind 11 to 16 miles per hour, and Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 14. Thursday, partly sunny with a high near 36. And Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 26. Back to you, Joe.
Yes, we are back. This is Some Things About Money. Appreciate you listening in today. If you would like to get a beginning of the year checkup, because a lot of people out there are getting a little bit nervous. They're wondering why their broker or their financial advisor has yet contacted them or been receptive to the idea of actually being able to provide explanations as to what is taking place. The kind of stuff that we talk about here on Some Things About Money. If you're looking for a second opinion, give us a call at 908-713-6600 at Patton, Heidi & Associates, and we'd be more than happy to sit down and do a portfolio review, but not just in an isolated manner. We want to talk to you about what it's for. What's your time frame? Talk to me about risk. Talk to me about, you know, the actual goal. Is it for retirement or for something else? Tell me about what you're used to, what you've experienced in the past, what you like, what you don't like, what you're doing in other areas so there's no overlap, or that we have all of the information that we would need to talk intelligently about your situation. And then if you think it's a good idea to actually do a complete comprehensive review, a comprehensive financial plan, we'll talk about what that looks like, where we review your reserve requirements, your cash flow, your portfolio construction, your tax situation, retirement, whether it be what you're doing now, what the retirement programs are that are provided by your employer, what the government entitlement programs will be, taking a look at your estate issues, your ownership of your accounts, how you've structured your beneficiaries, do you have any trusts, are you charitably inclined, how the new regulations affect the ability to make contributions, how some of the excise taxes on investments and income will affect your situation, on and on and on and on. Yes, it does sound like it's more complex than just what do I buy and what do I sell. It is sounding that way because it truly is. So if you're not having those conversations with your advisor, I suggest you give us a call at 908-713-6600 or check out our website. You might be pleasantly surprised to find that there are actually some credentialed advisors out there who are academically sound and could cover all of these areas and speak to them intelligently in a way that will make you comfortable. And that is important, because if you don't understand how things work, don't make decisions about them, and certainly don't write checks. So, all of that being said, Tony, things aren't looking good. I mean, really, I'm getting a bit frustrated here with the markets. I can't possibly have enough cash to take advantage of the sales that are being presented to us. So hopefully the folks out there are taking a long-range perspective on this and are looking for some quality out there to purchase. And if you're not, shame on you. Please don't hide under rocks. It's a sale. You're supposed to take advantage of sales, not wait for the retail prices to come back. There are a lot of things that people don't pay a lot of attention to, especially, you know, what the government has been doing as far as, you know, the emperor types of edicts that are coming out of Washington these days. Thank goodness for people who are looking at that and going, you know, we really have to bring it back to the Constitution, to the intent of our founding fathers. And granted, they were a bunch of white guys with long white wigs, and that might make certain people out there a little bit uncomfortable, but the fact of the matter is most of it was based upon sound governance and rights of the citizens of this country, which by some opinion has changed somewhat in recent years, as well as the creation of this layer of political correctness that drives most Americans crazy, yet they are fearful of addressing it because they may be painted with that brush as being one of those, misogynists, racists, homophobes, I mean, whatever the terms are that they would apply or throw at you if you voiced a contrarian opinion. But there's Texas Governor Greg Abbott out there who is calling for a convention of states to pass 9 new amendments to the U.S. Constitution and what he is calling the Texas Plan. Now, if you haven't heard about this, it came out a few days ago, and it's rather interesting. I'm going to go through it, and you actually be truthful to yourself. Be intellectually honest as to whether or not you think this is a sound recommendation. If you don't, that's fine. But don't layer ideology on it, whether you're from the right or whether you're from the left. Look at it as the United States of America, as he thinks it is, which is why he's looking to promote these amendments to the Constitution. I mean, obviously, he's doing this for a reason. It's not just out of a vacuum. Now, the amendment says that the powers not delegated to the United States, and that would be the federal government, by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. What that means is that if the Constitution doesn't grant it to the federal government, it's in the hands of the states, the local government, or the individuals to be responsible for those things. The governor's office said the 9 proposed amendments will be, number one, prohibit Congress from regulating activity that occurs wholly within one state. Now, you might think, well, gee, that makes sense. I mean, why would the federal government get involved in a state issue that's only unique to that one state? Number two, require the Congress to balance its budget. Well, every other entity has to do that. Why shouldn't the federal government? Why should they continue to spend and then threaten government shutdown if we don't pay the bill when it comes in and then blame each other for all of the upset? I mean, after all, we're not the ones asking them to spend it on so many of these programs. They're making this stuff up as a way to buy our votes so we keep them in office, in a job, and in power. So why don't we just turn around and say, pay your bills? Number three, prohibit administrative agencies and the unelected bureaucrats that staff them from creating federal law. Do you realize that's going on right now? You didn't elect these people. They were appointed by politicians, and they're mandating new law based upon what they want to do within their agency that is going to have a significant effect on you and your children. Stop it. Four, prohibit administrative agencies and the unelected bureaucrats that staff them from preempting state law. Yeah, if there's a law in the books in New Jersey that's unique to New Jersey that, well, maybe, you know, doesn't match up with the ideology of a federal administration or certain agencies, Department of Energy, that creates policy as it relates to our energy independence, or Department of Education, which has thrust Common Core upon us. And I can go on and on. These aren't people that were elected to do this. Five, allow a just because they were appointees or nominees of the President of the United States. And individuals in states that are affected by these things, eminent domain as an example, you know, let the states make those determinations. The states have their own state Supreme Courts to provide oversight to state issues. Allow that to happen. Require the seven justice supermajority vote for the Supreme Court decisions that invalidate a democratically enacted law. So if you want the Supreme Court to continue to oversee or run roughshod over the will of the people, well, just allow things to continue. But if you want to make it more difficult for them to just say, you know, the laws that were created based upon what the people want, that the representatives enacted, if you want to override that, you have to have a supermajority. Again, remember, equal branches of government, legislative, judicial, and executive. One branch should not have more power than another, and certainly not usurp the responsibility and rights of we the people. Restore the balance of power between the federal and state governments by limiting the former to the powers expressly delegated in the Constitution. Well, that's pretty clear. there's a lot of bantering back and forth between the federal government and the states. The federal government wants to get bigger, and they're getting bigger at the expense of individual states. So it's going to get to the point where there will be one big brother controlling everything. And this amendment will stop that. Give state officials the power to sue in federal court when federal officials overstep their bounds. Wow. if you can take them out through the judiciary, how much of this nonsense do you think would actually be taking place? Do you really think that they would be taking over your property on a whim just because they decided they want to make a federal tract of land larger, that they want to just shut down your business because, you know, you happen to be adjacent to this acreage and, you know, we got a stream in common, but we want to control the whole thing, so we're going to you know, the environmental agencies are going to step in and say, well, because you're adjacent to our land and we want to make sure that it stays pristine, we're going to grab your 10,000 acres and make it part of our park system. And we'll tell you what we're going to give you. And if you don't like it, you have no recourse. I don't think that's a good idea. Give state officials the power to sue in federal court when federal officials overstep their bounds. God, I really do love that. Let's do that. Number nine, allow a two-thirds majority of the states to override a federal law or regulation, especially when it's onerous and creates undue harm to individual states, more so than perhaps others. States have to have recourse in order to protect themselves and their citizens, and this would give this to them. I would like to add a tenth. Could we have term limits? Because if we had term limits, maybe people in Washington would actually work to get things done instead of actively work to get reelected. And, you know, we keep hearing about that over and over and over and over. And if we could somehow have a convention of states and have that as the 10th Amendment, then, wow, am I going to sign on? Because, you know, for example, if you gave all of the politicians in Washington 8 years, just imagine what they can get done without having to worry about, you know, as soon as they get sworn in, immediately starting on their reelection campaign and being beholden to all of the lobbyists on K Street in D.C. Just imagine if you could kind of wash those people away. And while we're at it, let's kind of go with that flat tax where you can fill out your tax return on an index card and take out the IRS. Because after all, if the federal government is allowing the Saudis to put a couple of 100,000 Americans out of work in the oil industry here in the United States, why not do the same thing to IRS agents? I mean, they're college grads, right, Mr. President? And we all know that if you're a college grad, you can get a job and do really well. So the fact that you're with the IRS, you know, I'm sure you can find meaningful employment elsewhere. But anyway, that's just my opinion. We have the State of the Union address coming up this evening. I encourage each and every one of you to listen to it objectively. Again, be intellectually honest with what you're hearing and how you evaluate it on both sides of the aisle. And maybe get behind the Texas governor's proposition for those amendments with my addition of term limits and see if we can kind of take our country back in terms of how it was meant to be under the Constitution of the United States. And granted, you know, times are different and things need to be a bit modernized, but the basic intent is still valid. It's still there. You know, it's we the people, not we the government. It's the states that we live in that should have more say over what we do in our lives, not the federal government, which originally was charged primarily with the protection of the nation, not to control it. This is Joe Patton. And you've been listening to Some Things About Money here with Tony Clark. And we wish you a very, very warm, bright day. Goodbye.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
We're going to continue to work with Mexico to respond to the threats that are posed by transnational criminal organizations.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest commending Mexico for the capture of drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. The U.S. is trying to get Guzman extradited to America to face criminal charges. The presidential frontrunners are holding double-digit leads in a new national poll. The latest NBC News SurveyMonkey poll out today shows Republican Donald Trump with a 38-20 lead over Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Democrat Hillary Clinton leads Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders 52-37%. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul says he'll pass on Thursday's Republican presidential debate after learning he'd been placed on the second tier undercard showdown. Instead of hitting the debate stage, his campaign says he'll take his message directly to voters in New Hampshire and Iowa. The death of rock legend David Bowie is being blamed on liver cancer, according to one of his closest friends. Director Ivo van Hoove tells a Dutch radio station that Bowie informed him of his terminal diagnosis over a year ago. You're listening to USA Radio News.
At GoDaddy, a domain name is the beginning of something awesome. Use it to create a website to promote your business. Open an online store to sell your products. Start a blog. Build your brand. You can even connect your domain to your LinkedIn or Facebook page. And GoDaddy customer support is always ready to help. What will you do with your domain name? Get a .com domain name for only $2.99 for the first year. Right now at GoDaddy.com. 2-year purchase required. Second year is $14.99.
There are times being a genius would really come in handy.
This is Houston. Your oxygen levels will be depleted unless you put the valve modulator into the auxiliary gauge after you've calibrated the flexternal matrix, not the external matrix. Do not touch that one.
I'm just the cook.
But thankfully,